Just because it's a two-wheeler consumer doesn't mean they expect less.
Today's consumer doesn't want to do 6 to 8 offline visits.
At the end of the day, the customer who's buying a two-wheeler is looking for affordable solution.
Financing seems like a solved problem. Like there are 20 fintechs trying to solve every category out there.
We got three-wheeler brands, we got four-wheeler brands, we've got electronic brands.
Can you solve my home EMI situation?
Of course you have to do all this hard work. It creates true moats in the business.
We cannot build asset-like model where we just connect people, connect the dots and solve it. In future, they cannot expect consumers to walk into 5-6 different showrooms and outlets to try a bike. The new age consumer is not going to do that.
Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. Rajinda here. I'm joined today by my colleague Anish and a founder I've known for a decade, Sumit. Sumit, thanks for doing this. Auto is a company that Sumit started, but Sumit is a serial entrepreneur. He's on to his fourth company, I believe. And the first time I met Sumit, he was literally just out of IIT, figuring out his first startup. Super happy to have you here, Sumit, and to be in business with you. Anish, why don't you actually introduce what Sumit does and his company?
Sure, Rajinder. I think, we came across, I at least met Sumit 3 years ago when we first invested in Auto in early 2021. Space for about 9 years. Prior to Auto, he was the founder of the used two-wheeler marketplace, Credar. Didn't really have a two-wheeler financing and commerce thesis, but sort of came across Sumit and his passion for the space.
What has led to the success of the company thus far?
I do remember when Matrix finally invested. If you are riding or moving in India and you don't know two-wheelers, then you don't know India or Bharat, right? So I think it's a largest market. And for a good 10 years, my belief has been that it has been largely untapped, right? There are not many founders, there are not many startups trying to solve problems in this market, which fortunately started changing in the coming last 3-4 years. Again, the second thing has been that it is going through an interesting shift, right? With the EV coming in, with the credit becoming much more accessible, the interesting consumer base becoming more and more young millennial generation consumer base, right? So if you see 70% people who buy two-wheeler in our country today are in the age of 21 to 36. These are the young generation consumers who crave for convenience, who crave for experience everywhere, right? And can you build it for the two-wheeler purchase, for the two-wheeler finance as well? I think that's been the biggest belief for us, and that's what led to the milestone of 1 lakh bookings that we've done on the platform so far. And I think the last thing that has been the biggest focus, and I think thanks to the investors, that has been the primary question in this market, that can you make money in two-wheeler segment, right? It's not a large ticket size product. It's mobile. It's high volume game, but low margin game. Can you really make business, which is not just solving a problem, but also creates a value for itself? So I think what we have been able to do it and demonstrate again and again is that building a right experience, having a full stack focused experience of solving problems for the consumers here, we have built a very superior economics, be it compared to any lender who has been in this market, or be it compared to any other commerce player who has tried to solve for two-wheeler purchases, right? So I think these have been the three interesting levers for us.
I'm taking away large market, untapped in the past, going through a rapid change because of EV and premiumization. Two, and this is to your credit, because you actually pitched this when you came to meet us. You said, phygital experience, marketplace business model, customer experience that is seamless across every touch point in the consumer's journey. Because of the unique commerce plus financing business model, you've been able to generate better unit economics than any player, either on the financing side or on the commerce side in this business,
yes,
which is outstanding. Anish, I wanted to come to you. I know you've spent some time on the business. Talk to me a little bit about what you see as the levers in this business as the company has kept scaling.
What's important in the market, it's that just because it's a two-wheeler consumer doesn't mean they expect less, right? So if you look at the end-to-end stack that he was talking about, you need to solve for discovery, you need to solve for variety, you need to solve for TAT. Nobody wants to wait for months to buy a vehicle. You would probably do that for a car, but you would not do that for a two-wheeler. And then you need to have, so basically low TAT, variety, discovery, and affordability. At the end of the day, the customer who's buying a two-wheeler is looking for affordable solutions, right? I think 60% of Indian two-wheeler purchases happen on credit. So you have to essentially stitch together the entire commerce stack and the financing part of this journey into one and make it seamless. And I think that's where, when we first met Sumit, what excited us, and that sort of played out over the last 3 years, is the ability to think of it as a commerce transaction that's happening digitally, offering a seamless Amazon Flipkart-like consumer experience for two-wheeler buying, while ensuring that there is affordability plugged in with the financing, innovative financing product that we will talk about, and actually executing it at scale. So I think that's sort of what also alludes to the superior unit economics that he was talking. And we could see some signs of early signs of that in the business when we invested. So that's the thesis. And we've obviously done it in off business. We've done it in a few other businesses where, you know, this commerce plus financing makes sense.
Sumit, how do you solve for this? Because when I was talking to some people in the market, they were like, really? Like OEM actually partners with auto?
I think pandemic was a great trigger because that was a time when in India, everything was selling apart from automobile, right? And that was the hitting point where brands went to their boardrooms, dealers start thinking, how do we continue our business? And that's the time you see auto. And we were the first one to enable sales of these dealerships and their brands in the pandemic time, because we had a complete commerce tech model experience where a consumer sitting at a comfort of home can try a vehicle, can get the financing done without any submission of any hard documents, and is able to get a delivery at home without going out in the market when the times were tough, right? And that was a need, right? In those times, consumers were really worried to use public transport, and hence they wanted to have something of their own. And in India and Bharat, when we talk about to travel, the easiest and the most affordable option is two-wheelers. And I think that is the time when brands saw the value that auto has created in the ecosystem. And I think there's no look back after that.
You made the choice early, and this is something that I didn't fully understand at the time. You said, I'm not going to sell leads.
Yes.
Why?
Going to the fundamentals of how I've always been building business, important is to solve the problem, the key pain points for the consumer, right? And here, if we talk about, I narrate the problem statement is that today's consumer doesn't want to go to or doesn't want to do 6 to 8 offline visits to find out which is the right bike for him, to find out which showroom is going to give him the best price, to figure out which lender is going to give him money to buy the bike, right? This is something which is not going to continue in the coming decades, right? And to solve it, we were very clear that we need to be full stack, right? We need to get our hands dirty, right? We cannot build a asset-light model where we just connect people, connect the dots and solve it. It is not going to work in this market. And primarily because it has nuances, right? And that's why today, if you see, even the biggest commerce players in our country are not been able to be successful in the two-wheeler market. They have not been able to scale this category as much, right? Because it has different nuances. And you have to solve it piece by piece. And I think that's what auto has been into working for last 5 years, and you are getting the results in the compounding form now. So if you see, that's what got brands to partner with us, right? Be it the largest player in the country, which is Hero MotoCorp, right? Or be it the biggest EV player today, which is Ola Electric in the market, or it the biggest premium brand of the, which is the Royal Enfield, right? So if you see across the brand, across the segments of brands, we have got attention from the players, and they got belief in the capabilities that auto has built for the consumers, right? And this is because they could clearly see that the future is digital, right? In future, they cannot expect consumers to walk into 5-6 different showrooms and outlets to try a bike, to get the prices, to get the financing. The new age consumer is not going to do that.
But they also have an existing dealer network, and that dealer network cares a lot about, you know, hey, there's this new disruptive business model. Does it compete? Does it not? How do you solve for that?
We have always focused upon building a win-win-win construct, right? Whether these are on the brand side or on the lending side. And when we talk about the brand side, we have been the enabler for the brands and the dealerships, right? We have pitched ourselves as a partner who is going to help them in acquiring and giving a seamless experience to the new age consumers who are digital first, and which is not in the capabilities of them to deliver by themselves. And I think initially, yes, there was friction, but with time, as we've been able to increase the business for them, give them a seamless experience to sell 10 more extra bikes for a particular dealer sitting in Indiranagar without putting any much effort. And on the base of that growth of the business, we essentially got them to give some share of their income, share with us, right? For the effort and for the investment that auto is doing on their behalf. So I think it's a journey. I always talk about it's a long game. It's not something that could be solved over a month or a quarter. It's been 6 years in making. And now today, I think every brand recognizes us. Officially or unofficially, today, I can claim that every brand works with us, right? So that's a big validation for us in the market.
Customer backwards, can't sell leads. Consumers don't want to be, you know, chased by like seven dealers, yes. Go through the pain, get it. Financing seems like a solved problem. Like today, you know, all of us get like 20 calls like saying,
yes.
You know, loan for X, loan for Y. Like there are 20 fintechs trying to solve every category out there. What's unique about the financing product here?
It's a credit first market. Again, it's not a discovery first play at the first point in the sense that the decision making still depends on how I go to get the money to buy the bike. Right? And that is why the biggest of the biggest commerce players have not been able to be very successful here. You have to solve credit along with the commerce experience. So while the consumer wants that, can I get a bike sitting at a comfort of home? But he also wants to make sure that he gets the money to buy the bike, right? And hence solving both things hand in hand became super important for the success of this innovative products in the market. And goes back to during my Creda days, right? When we were doing it for solving for used two-wheeler market, and I thought of getting the financing launch for the used two-wheeler segment. I interacted with multiple banks, NBFCs, even the captive ones, right? And that is the time I realized, ki boss, in India, no bank or NBFC today practically underwrite two-wheeler as a secured asset class, right? And everyone
just to clarify, they're all underwriting the customer.
Yes,
what he's
everyone underwrite two-wheeler customer as a personal loan or unsecured loan, right? That was obviously an eye-opening for me as well. But as I have met more and more lending partners or banks, NBFC in this market, my thesis just become more stronger and stronger with it, right? That for them, it's a 70,000-80,000 rupees of a small ticket size loan. The product is mobile. And on the top of it, there is no resale market, organized resale market in India for two-wheelers, right? At a large scale in the used two-wheeler market, right? So for them, it's very convenient to just price this product as a personal loan or unsecured loan. And hence you see in India, the two-wheeler loans, 80% of the consumers in India get two-wheeler loans for 1 year or 2 year, right? While the asset life is roughly minimum 7 to 10 years, right? So that's an interesting gap that we got to know from the market or the experts of the market itself, that people are getting a shorter tenure loans because they're not underwriting the asset. The IRRs are very high in this market. The rate of interest makes it slightly unaffordable for the consumers. And on the top of it, the resale nuances is something that banks just want to be aware of, right? And that is where we saw an interesting opportunity, because we could clearly see that two-wheeler as an asset has an intrinsic value. There is a price at which the two-wheelers can be sold in the market at 2 year, 3 year, or 4 years. And on the top of it, can we build a much more affordable financing solution for the customer? Because as this industry is going through premiumization, it's important to make sure that it is affordable. It is important to make sure that this is accessible to every consumer to own this two-wheeler, right? And that is what became a lever for us to innovate upon.
And I think, Rajinder, when we sort of met Sumit, it's also about the team, right? I mean, Sumit has been part of a full stack model before. And I think how he's reconstructed the resale part of the business, there was a very strong why this team for us to invest, given Sumit's experience in the used two-wheeler market and with Creda. So I think solving for the consumer experience while making sure that the operational nuances are solved, that was something we saw only with this team.
Anish, great point. How do you solve this? How do you solve resale and talk numbers? Because it sounds to me like if you have all these bikes coming back into the pool, you're basically stuck with all these assets. How do you solve it?
Every two-wheeler has an intrinsic value. So here with me, obviously I have a co-founder, Harsh, and he and we were together at Creda. So he has the extensive experience of building data models and predictive pricing models around the automobile segment. We have built a proprietary product, which is known as Super EMI for two-wheelers. And in this product, we give consumer an option to pay 30% lower EMI than any other loan available in the market, right? And this is backed with our proprietary resale market value product, where we say that when you buy a two-wheeler with auto, you pay only a fraction of its value in the first 2 or 3 years of your commitment. And at the end of tenure, you can decide if you want to pay the remaining money and still retain the vehicle, or you want to come back and upgrade to another option, right? And And interestingly, obviously, when we started, we also didn't know how it will pan out, right? But what we realized that we have been able to serve different set of consumers with these proposition, right? There is a consumer who makes 18 to 20,000 rupees, right? Comes from a humble class family, has certain liabilities on the top of it. He's aspirational to run his own two-wheeler, to go for his first job. And for him, the ability to reduce his EMI by 2,000 rupees or 1,800 rupees for the first 2 to 3 years becomes a very strong value proposition, right? For a consumer who is buying a Royal Enfield, right? He is a loyal Royal Enfield customer. It's like buying an iPhone in our market, right? Every time a new model comes in, people want to have that model. So for him, getting hassle-free ownership model where he can use a Hunter for 2 years and then a Royal Enfield comes with a new upgrade model, just come back to auto and quickly upgrade to another option without any worry of the resale, becomes a value proposition. So the product that we've created fits into the exact way of consumer behavior, which is the real two-wheeler purchasers in the country. And that has worked very well for us, right? From brands to consumers to lending partners, right? Everyone has recognized the value that we've created for the market and also really appreciate the operational nuances that you have to manage at the back of it, right? The data intelligence that we've created to price any kind of product in the market, the operational infrastructure that we've created to manage the liquidation of this asset at the back, everything is really unique to auto. And no player in India, in at least in the last 5 years, have been able to even come close to us.
So I think, Rajinder, to your point, I think he had a question on why fintechs can't do this. And maybe Sumit, just talk a little bit about your commerce stack and why a lot of fintechs or commerce platforms want to partner with you versus trying to launch the secured lending on their own. Whereas, you know, some of the other products, like let's say a PL, is an easy cross-sell option for a lot of the consumer fintech apps to launch. Why would they partner with Otto for many of secured products?
The operational nuances to launch a two-wheeler finance, right? It looks very natural, right? If a payments app has a 50 million downloads, obviously it has a huge overlapping consumers who will be running two-wheelers, who will be buying and financing two-wheelers, right? But when it comes to enable this kind of solution to the market, it comes with its own nuances, right? When which vehicle a consumer wants to buy? Who is going to supply this vehicle? Whom am I going to pay this money, right? How am I going to get the details of that dealer or a seller for my platform, right? There are interesting operational nuances that comes when there is any asset associated to the purchase or to the financing. And I think this is where Otto has built, it's like a complete full tech stack that Otto has built so far is highly configurable. It's highly integrable with any kind of platforms for sort, right? So today, as we're speaking about, right, one of the biggest payments platform, we are becoming the partner to enable the two-wheeler purchase and two-wheeler finance on their platform, right? And it has these nuances, which becomes very difficult for someone to go and solve piece by piece. It takes time, it takes energy, and again, the chances of success still limited. So I think that is what has been solved so far. And it sticks even to the lending institutions, right? Today, like two of the top five financiers in the country are going to go live with Otto, right?
And despite having their own
one of them disburses $1 billion a year. It's not small number. Like we're talking about achieving a 100,000 kind of a milestone for the first time. They do it like literally almost every second month, right? But they also know that the growth they want to get from here, if they want to increase their market share by another 20%, they cannot do without partnership such like Otto, because that is going to give them a disruptive distribution so that they are not dependent on a single channel. That is going to give them a unique product market offering, which is going to help them in achieving the larger market share of the new age consumers in this segment. So I think that is how the complete commerce stack and the lending stack that we have built so far has been able to enable multiple partners. And hence we believe like what we call coined by ourselves a four win model. So it has to be win for you. It has to be win for your consumers, but it also has to be win for the brands and the lending partners.
You said at the start that you've cracked the unit economic model. Now, I'm curious to understand, you said partnerships with brands, partnerships with lenders, partnerships with platforms, win-win with consumers. It sounds too good to be true. How do you make money?
When you create value, people are always happy to share a part of it with you. And that's been how our thesis so far worked well for us. And I think the value that we created for the brands, So when we enable any digital sales for these brands for on our platform, they are happy to share a commission with us, right? Which varies from 2 to 5%, right? When we work with lenders, right, there are two set of lenders, right? There are lenders who are excited to do business in two-wheelers but have never been able to do it by themselves, be it limited access to distribution or their own capabilities to manage this asset class. They want to now really grow their book in this market. And they, when they see auto's portfolio performance, the growth, they really want to leverage it. And hence, when these partners comes on board, they utilize the complete tech stack that auto has built, right? From origination to the risk-based proprietary model that we have created for underwriting of consumer, to deploy the capital into 1,000+ dealers that are on the platform across the country in a very KYC compliant manner. So leveraging this complete tech stack to deploy capital and build their book, they share a commission with us, which goes up to 4%, right? Now, because we manage the full portfolio, like the life cycle is managed by us, be it origination, underwriting, collections of the EMI, the resale of the asset at the end, we also get a share of the revenue that they generate on this portfolio, right? Which varies from 7% to 10%, right? So in a nutshell, on a gross level, on every transaction that we do through our platform, we make roughly 18 to 20% of gross margin. So it's a pretty healthy unit economics we have built, and we have not built by increasing the cost for the consumer.
Maybe talk a little bit about, you know, this clearly plays at the intersection of commerce and finance, but at the end of the day, there is an asset and there is a pricing of the risk around the asset. So how does this fit into overall, you know, how we're thinking about fintech and maybe these kinds of business models?
Look, I think what you're essentially doing in a commerce-based financing model is capturing some part of the commerce margin in the transaction and then layering on financing to capture more or less transaction margin through financing. Now, that obviously happens if you have some core capability, right? We've seen it with some of the larger platforms. And I think as Sumit mentioned, if you were to pin it down, it's essentially full stack demand discovery as well as delivery and then asset management. I think the asset management part of the business is not focused on enough. One is obviously the ability to just repossess the asset. Second is to have the valuation grid of the vehicle, which what Sumit was saying, which banks and NBFCs, some of them do, most of them don't, which is to identify at what point can I sell this vehicle off, at what price is this vehicle liquid, right? So having that liquidity price grid and where do I sell it? And Sumit is obviously able to find these pockets through his experience in the past. Do I sell it to an unorganized market? Do I sell it to a marketplace? Do I sell it to dealers? Do I sell it to another customer who wants to buy this, right? So the ability to find the liquidity price of that asset. And then obviously to know, you know, what is the LTV I can give on that vehicle over the period of, let's say, a year or 2 year or 3 year, you're giving the customer the options. So how do I price that risk basis what price I can fetch in the market and still make money on the vehicle, right? I think it's a combination of all these three. And that's where the core capability of, you know, doing this again and again. So more you sell, the more you liquidate, the more you sort of refine the pricing engine. You have a certain price for each model. You have a certain price for each deal, for each OEM. So you have that tribal knowledge. And it's also about, you know, honestly, it is operational in nature, right? So to have that control on the ground, to be able to repo some of these vehicles, to be able to sort of resell them, requires a daily executional operational rigor, which we sort of saw with Sumit when we invested.
Sorry, Sumit, all I heard was 18 to 20%. Boss, if you're making that much gross margin, you must be profitable already, no?
So,
good. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I know. Always you investors.
It's the profitability season.
A tight spot. Our old cities are profitable. Bangalore, wow. Where congrats. We have wow. deployed almost 200 crores of financing, running an AUM of almost 100 crores. It's decently profitable. Chennai, Pune are the other two markets which are already profitable. So definitely we are clearly able to showcase that at a certain scale in a certain market, we're able to get to profitability. So that's definitely an answer. Second, what has contributed to it, right? I think it's not just the gross margins are important. To get profitable, also the costs are the important piece to talk about. So I think few things that we have invested very heavily in the last 18 months, right? One has been a lot of focus on the CAC, right? I think, and being an entrepreneur multiple times, I think one space or one area where companies really mess up is the acquisition cost, the marketing cost.
CAC just for those
blows up as you scale.
Customer acquisition cost.
Yeah, customer acquisition cost is something where we make a biggest mess as we grow, right? So I think that has been a very important focus for us. And we have innovated multiple things in our journey, in our underwriting process as we have evolved. And today, like, our CACs actually has gone down almost by 25% in last 18 months of time. And while the scale has, in 18 months, if you talk about scale, has been like almost 2x, right? So we have been able to reduce the CAC. Second, with a strong portfolio performance of the book, we have been able to reduce our cost of fund. So our cost of fund has reduced by at least 15% to 18% in last 9 quarters, right? So, 9 months, right? So we have been able to attract financing partners at a very good cost of fund today, which has again contributed to a better economics for us. The third has been the productivity. I think the biggest focus in last 15 months for us, and obviously it's a season of profitability, it's important, is that, and obviously a question that always been part of the two-wheeler industry, that can you really make money at scale? I think one thing we focused upon, the productivity of the resources that we have in the sales, right? And today we are almost doing 15 to 18 transactions on per sales agent level, which is one of the best in the industry today, right? So that has gone up almost by 40% in last 18 months of time, right? And the third thing has been that as we have scaled the business, right, we've been able to attract these brand level partnerships, and that has obviously increased the margins on the top, right? So so that is something that has worked well for us. Last thing that has worked and has been always a big focus for us has been that and somewhere it was a weakness for us, which has played very well for us, is that from day one, we were very clear that we are not in a risk-taking game, right? We are in the business of making two-wheeler ownership simple, accessible, and affordable. So considering we don't come with that lending background, we have been very risk-first in our approach, where we made sure that the selection of customer is purely on the basis of his choice to go with auto due to the differentiation that we created in his life by giving him more affordable EMIs or giving him a much more simpler digital convenient process or giving him the flexibility to own a bike at his choice. And hence, our portfolio has performed in terms of NPAs, in terms of quality, as one of the best in the industry. And which also in turn helps us to go back to our lending partners and crack upon some of the zero FLDG models or low risk premium models, which in turn adds back to our profitability. So I think a lot of effort has gone to reach to these kind of numbers. I can clearly see the reaction from you, but I think we are on a track to be profitable in the coming year.
No, congrats. Anish, I'm sure you have views on this, but maybe connect some of the things Sumit has said back to our overall commerce plus fintech thesis.
So yeah, I think, Rajinder, as I said, the idea is to essentially, you have a commerce part of the business and then you have a financing part of the business. You need to have some core capability to drive the commerce with the financing and capture a share of margin on both, which makes you superior to a pure play commerce platform or a pure financier. And I think Sumit has done that and Otto has done that. And when we met, it's a combination of a robust commerce stack, which allows you to run the commerce business effectively, which is, real-time price, availability, variety, location, delivery, all of that, along with the asset management and the lifecycle management of the two-wheeler, which is a, less focused part that even Sumit mentioned, that not a lot of banks and NBFCs sort of focus on that part of the business, where I think Sumit also, because of his Credar background and the skill set that he brings, is able to identify what is the liquid price at which a certain asset can be resold in the market. It's at a model level, it's at a city level, it's at a brand level. How do you identify what should be the LTV of this vehicle? What can be the loan value for this vehicle? And at what is the safety margin I can operate with such that I can sell if this vehicle were to be repossessed or returned, what price can I sell it at in the market? I think having that engine and that engine sort of with first few years, you're building that over a period of time, it sort of gets more refined and the safety margins of safety increases for you. So I think he's been able to build that. They've done that in ICE, they're doing that in EV. So it essentially boils down to core commerce plus asset management plus resale repo capabilities that help you kind of capture both ends of the margin.
We've obviously seen the journey now with multiple companies. Obviously, off business has become incredibly large. But our expectations are no less of Sumit and Otto, obviously. But, you know, I'm sure you'll get there. Sumit, you said Bangalore. Mm. You said Chennai. You said Pune and Hyderabad. All of these are metro or tier one cities. And so does this model scale? And what are the nuances when you scale beyond the top cities?
Yeah. So, yes, it does scale, Rajinder. I think to our surprise, the top performing cities for us in terms of productivity, etc., has been the Jaipur. And the regions around Jaipur, which is not definitely a metro or a tier one in that manner. And the cities in tier
and why
one,
is that,
tier two regions.
Sumit, is it affordability? Is it experience? What's driving?
Both parts, right? So what you realize is that one, a city like Jaipur, talking about a bit of a nuance here, right? So someone who is doing, let's say, a BPO role in Bangalore will still make a salary of 25,000 rupees, right? But for the same role in Jaipur, he just makes 15 or 16,000 rupees, right? So he's down by almost like 6, 7,000 rupees on an average in terms of salary. But two-wheeler comes at the same price, right? The Honda Activa price remains 1 lakh in Bangalore, in Jaipur. It doesn't change that much apart from a bit of a road tax changes, right? And that's where our value prop becomes really attractive for them. Because for someone who's making 15, 16,000 rupees, and let's imagine he wants to buy an Ola Electric S1 Pro, which costs you 1.4L, right? For him, giving an EMI of 5,000 rupees is like shelling off almost one third of his salary just to on the two-wheeler. But when it comes down from 5,000 rupees to 3,500 rupees, it becomes comforting. And that is what we realized, that as we're moving down to the tier two markets and the non-metro cities, the affordability play is becoming really stronger, right? That's one point. Second point to answer, because the consumers of two-wheeler, even in the tier two, tier three regions, are the young millennial Z generation guys, they are digital first, right? Kudos to obviously the Flipkart and the Meesho's of the world. A consumer has got confidence in digital first transaction model. And that behavior is applied even to those markets, right? So when India gets almost like a 12 million searches of two-wheeler online, 65% of them comes from tier two, tier three markets. So and especially for them, two-wheeler is a interesting engagement option, right? When I was, and coming back to my story, right? When I was in Udaipur, which is still a tier two, tier three city, we were most excited about bikes. In my last podcast also, I told about my very close friend became my friend because he had a motorcycle. And he used to take me out for a ride to Fateh Sagar, which is a beautiful lake in Udaipur, right? So in tier two, tier three markets, two-wheeler has its own prized position, behavior, aspiration, emotions connected to it, right? And for them, we are really seeing a lot of uptake in our purchase experience that we've created, that sitting at home, you can get the prices, sitting at home, get a financing done, and get the best EMI option in the market. So it's definitely not limited to the tier one markets. And our plan of expansion, and even the plans that we are discussing with the brands, right? For example, we have cracked a very interesting partnership with Royal Enfield, right? Where we are the preferred financing partner because of the assured buyback product that we have built here. Many of the markets that they are talking of to us are not just the tier one markets. They're talking about cities in Haryana. They're talking about us to cities in Punjab, which are at no level the metro cities, right?
So there's a large-scale premiumization
upgradation. The large-scale premiumization of consumer is definitely happening. And the two-wheeler sits at integration where this product is going through an interesting disruption for it.
So you said Jaipur, you said Haryana, Punjab, you said Ola Electric, you said Royal Enfield. I'm like, very excited about India's future. But maybe double-click a little bit on this EV story. I'm, you know, obviously interested in it for other reasons as well.
Yes, when EV, like just announced in 2019, right? When our Honorable Finance Minister announced for the first time that EV is going to be a huge bet. I think that's the day, at least I made a thesis for myself that two-wheeler is going to be the first industry to get disrupted with this shift, right? And fortunately, it played
well. It's grown up. 55% of outstanding EVs are
two-wheelers. 55% of EV sales are just two-wheelers, right? Not four-wheelers, not three-wheelers, it's two-wheelers, right? It has played out well. And definitely, it makes a lot of sense. And now with EV, what interesting shift happens is that because of the electric vehicle, new brands came in the market, right? Ola is a story in itself, where they are the biggest player and like no one knew 4 years back that there might be a Ola Electric as a biggest brand here. And you have Aether, you have Matter, multiple products launched, right? Especially for these new age brands, it makes a lot of sense to go digital first, right? And to go digital first, they needed someone who comes with that capabilities to give that immersive experience, not just limited to buying, but also enable them through lending. And hence, if we talk about electric vehicle today, we can clearly call ourselves as the biggest partner in terms of sales, in terms of lending to the two-wheeler market, right? And also, it is important.
And do you see better pull among EV OEMs?
Yes. So that's what I was coming to, that because who are the first adopters of EV? The first adopters of EV are progressive, educated, young consumers, right? Who completely fits into the behavior that we have always spoken about. And hence, for these consumers, auto financing product or auto commerce experience made a lot of sense. And also, surprisingly, when we spoke to our planning partners for the first place, they were hesitant, right? Well, how the performance of this pool would be. To their surprise, EV has performed one of the best in our portfolio, right? In terms of NPA, in terms of quality of collections, electric vehicle has performed much, much better than the two other IC markets, right? So great market, young aspirational consumer buying it. Because of the battery upfront cost, it's definitely slightly costlier, and hence affordable financing solutions are the need for them. On the top of it, giving them that flexibility to upgrade or change in case they don't like the bike just makes us a real fit for them. And also largely what we've seen is that many times what happened is that your friends have a scooter, Activa, your friends have access, you might buy it, right? But when it comes to electric, it's a new product in the concept. And hence, you want to be the first. You want some handholding. And that's what Otto's immersive commerce experience bring for them. That you just want to try an Ola, just try an Ola. You want to try an Aether, just try an Aether. Just get a feel of it, right? And then you decide. And that experience of O2O or a physical experience that Otto builds in fits with these kind of demands of the consumers.
You know, I'm just going to connect it back to another podcast that we just done recently. Fidgetal experiences are unique in India because,
yes,
one, many of these categories are being created for the first time.
Yes.
And in that construct, trust is key.
Yes.
Fidgetal creates trust. Pure physical, pure digital, today in India's, where India is today, doesn't create as much trust because people are either experiencing you offline and saying, what else is out there? So, you know, I need to figure it out. Or they're reading online and they're like, oh, can I touch and feel? But the true blend of both experiences creates trust.
Yes.
Point number one. Point number two, you can actually create meaningful scale through these fidgetal,
yes,
experiences because you are able to create
opens up newer
large
markets.
Scale with through digital acquisition. Like you were saying, 65% of searches for two-wheelers are in tier two, tier three markets, which is amazing. Plus, you can lower CAC because you have the ability to close online and offline.
Yes.
Plus, be able to deliver test drives at home where consumers want that touch and feel. I think if it kind of really all culminates in my mind, it's, you know, really this trust solution, scale, CAC, it all ends up in a differentiated business model, which is what
and
it
I
sounds to me.
And I was going to add that, Rajinder, the third thing is because you have to do all this hard work, it creates true moats in the business.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not somebody who can, be wiped off in a few years, because there is a lot of hard work that goes in building the digital presence, the physical presence, stitching the both together for an experience that builds a true moat in the business.
We got three-wheeler brands, we got four-wheeler brands, we have got electronic brands approaching us.
Can you solve my home EMI situation?
Maybe in future. but there are interesting products. Obviously, the innovation that we've done, we always speak about, it's highly indigenous. Indian consumers in certain way sometimes behave differently as well, and you have to really know that pulse and you have to really solve for it, and then only it's a success in itself. And I think today we can boast about that. Today, if you want to buy any two-wheeler online, Otto is the best option. If you want to get the best finance option for yourself, Otto is the option. And that's why our hashtag is always think two-wheeler, think Otto. So that's the tag which we leave every day. And keep doing it.
Thanks, Sumit. Thanks, Anish.
Sumit. Great conversation.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the discussion. Great. I think that's been a wonderful discussion. Thanks, Sumit. Thanks, Sajinder, for taking out the time. I think it's been a great journey over the last 3 years, and 1 lakh is just scratching the surface. Large market, 18, 19 million two-wheelers being sold every year. So looking to see auto in a lot more cities, in a lot more categories, and look forward to the journey with you and to scale this company to even greater heights. For more insightful chats with founders, you can subscribe to Matrix Moments.